Welcome to episode 1168 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Thank you for joining us as we continue our series, 1010 with Jesus, A Deeper Look. As we look deeply, we are exploring some of the most meaningful conversations Jesus had while he lived as a man here on earth. The setting is Jerusalem. Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling religious council, approaches Jesus, his tone respectful and measured, as one scholar addressing another. He chooses his words carefully, starting with a universally acknowledged point.
Rabbi, we, some of us, the leaders, have been observing your actions. We know you are a teacher who has come from God. It is clear. No one, Rabbi, no one can do these signs, these remarkable things we've seen, unless God is truly with him.
Truly, truly, I say to you, Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Born again? How? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he literally enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? It is physically impossible.
Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Think of the wind. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, can feel its effects, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. You cannot control it, so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Its origin and working are mysterious, unseen, yet its effects are real.
I hear your words, Rabbi. The wind. Yes, its power is evident, its source unseen. But this being born of the Spirit, how can these things be? How does this happen? As a teacher of Israel, I instruct others in the law, in the traditions, but this is something entirely new. I do not have a category for this.
Are you the teacher of Israel, a leader among your people in understanding God's ways, and yet you do not understand these things? These fundamental truths about spiritual reality? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, what we have experienced, and bear witness to what we have seen, things of the heavenly realm. But you and others do not receive our testimony, this divine truth. If I have told you earthly things, things you can see the effects of, like the wind, and you do not believe, how can you possibly believe if I tell you heavenly things, realities beyond your immediate perception? And understand this, Nicodemus, no one has ascended into heaven, no one has this intimate knowledge of the divine realm, except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses, in the wilderness, lifted up the serpent on a pole so that those who looked at it might live, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world, the whole world, Nicodemus, that he gave his only Son, his unique Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This was not a mission of condemnation. God did not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world in its sin, but specifically in order that the world might be saved through him.
Nicodemus came to Jesus under cover of darkness. As a respected Pharisee and religious ruler, he had status, knowledge, and moral discipline. But he also had questions. Something about Jesus intrigued him. The signs, the authority, the words. They pointed to a truth Nicodemus couldn't quite grasp. And so he came, not to trap or debate, but to learn. His visit is not just a conversation about salvation, but a deep, vulnerable search for meaning from a man who had spent his life pursuing God through law and tradition. What often gets highlighted in this passage is the famous phrase, born again, and the beautiful promise of John 3:16. But there is more here, a hidden invitation to re-examine not just what salvation is, but how the Spirit works, who God chooses to reveal himself to, and how religious knowledge can sometimes hinder rather than help spiritual understanding. Nicodemus begins respectfully. Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God. This is no small statement from a Pharisee. He is open to Jesus, willing to learn. Yet for all his credentials, Nicodemus is confused by Jesus' answer, unless one is born again. Here is the first surprise. Jesus doesn't affirm Nicodemus for his knowledge or position. He tells him that everything he knows, everything he's built his life on, is not enough. Entry into God's kingdom doesn't come through heritage, moral effort, or theological mastery. It comes through a spiritual rebirth, a work of the Spirit that cannot be systematized or controlled. This is a hard word for a man like Nicodemus to hear. He has given his life to discipline and study. And yet Jesus is saying that salvation is not earned but received, not understood fully but experienced, not managed but surrendered to. Jesus uses the metaphor of the wind to describe the Spirit's work. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. This is a direct challenge to religious control. Nicodemus, as a Pharisee, is used to order and clarity. He is grounded in a tradition that mapped out righteousness in rules and boundaries. But Jesus is describing a spirit that moves freely, unpredictably, yet with unmistakable power. The new birth is not a transaction, it is a transformation, and it cannot be contained. There is a humility required to be born of the Spirit. It requires letting go of formulas. It requires wonder. The wind blows where it wills. Nicodemus still doesn't understand. How can these things be? He asks. Jesus gently challenges him. Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? This is not mere rebuke, it is sorrowful astonishment. Nicodemus has the scriptures. He knows the stories of God creating with breath, of the valley of dry bones coming to life, of hearts made new. But he has missed the heart of it all. Knowing about God is not the same as knowing God. Understanding doctrine is not the same as being transformed. Jesus is urging Nicodemus to go deeper, not into more study, but into surrender, to move from the certainty of religion to the mystery of relationship. Jesus shifts the conversation. He references Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, a story Nicodemus would know well. The people of Israel were saved not by effort, but by looking in faith. In the same way, Jesus says, "The Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." This is the turning point. Jesus is revealing that he himself is the object of faith. He will be lifted up on a cross, and those who look to him will be saved, healed, and born anew. Then comes the verse we all know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." But pause here. This is not a generic statement, it is personal. It is being spoken to a man whose life has been shaped by religious boundaries and insider-outsider thinking. Jesus is telling him, God loves the world, not just the Jewish nation, not just the righteous, but the whole broken world. And this love is not abstract. It gives. It sends. It saves. Let's get deep. Jesus meets us in our questions. Nicodemus comes at night, with uncertainty and curiosity. Jesus doesn't send him away. He welcomes the dialogue. We too can bring our questions to him. Jesus challenges our assumptions. Nicodemus thought he understood how God works. Jesus invites him into mystery and surrender. Sometimes the Spirit must disrupt what we think we know so that we can receive what we truly need. Jesus reveals God's heart. The conversation culminates not in condemnation, but in the revelation of love. The God Nicodemus thought he served in law is revealed in the Son, full of grace. Jesus points to the cross. Even before his public ministry is in full view, Jesus points to his mission, to be lifted up, to die, and to bring life through his sacrifice. Nicodemus came at night, but the light of the world met him there. And though John 3 ends without telling us Nicodemus's final response, we later see him again, defending Jesus before the Pharisees and helping bury his body. The Spirit had begun his work. Let us not be afraid of the Spirit's mysterious ways. Let us not cling to the safety of what we know. Let us be born anew, for the wind still blows. Father, thank you for meeting each of us in the mystery. Thank you for the love that gave your Son and the Spirit that gives new birth. Help us let go of control and embrace the wind of your Spirit. Make each of us anew. Help us not just to know about you, but to know you deeply and truly. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full, today.